Well, here we are on the last Sunday of the church year, which ends, as it does every year, with the Reign of Christ Sunday. And it seemed to me that this would be a good time and a good year to ask the question, well, what kind of reign is this? We're fairly familiar with the notion of control or running things. We're not as familiar with what a reign might be. There certainly are still monarchs. If you think of Saudi Arabia, you've got absolute monarchs where a king still has the power of life and death over his people. Canada, with Queen Elizabeth, a constitutional monarch, really, you can go months at a time and not think about her at all, and it won't change your life at all, and probably wouldn't even offend her. We don't really know what it's like to live under that kind of control in a personal sense, but we have a pretty good idea of what a reign should look like. And we would think, overall, that if you're going to have a king or a queen or an absolute monarch of any sort, that it would be obvious that they're there. I've never been to Saudi Arabia. I haven't been avoiding it. I've never been to anywhere in that part of the world, which I think is unfortunate. But my understanding is that it's fairly easy to tell that you're there. Women don't drive cars. They're not allowed to. Clothing is different because of the decrees of the king. Depending where you are, you can see the outcome of some of his laws in ways that you can't see them here in Canada. And so there's an obvious look. You can see what's going on. Well, if this is a Sunday in celebration of the reign of Christ, do you ever wonder if that reign is actually here? And what does it look like? And why can't we see it? Maybe that's the bigger question. And when we ask that question, we're not the first. Jesus was being asked that question right up until the time he died. When he was on the cross, people were saying, well, if you're the king of the Jews, why don't you do something about it? From our perspective, we look at the world around us, and for us, it's reasonably comfortable. But we ask, so where is this reign? What kind of a reign is this? If Jesus is the king, why doesn't everything he says is important happen and nothing else? Well, I think it has a lot to do with our misunderstanding of what it means to be a king, or at least what it can mean to be a king. There have been despotic rulers throughout history that that no one could possibly imagine wanting to have anything to do with. There are kings who have just ruled by, well, what appears to be some kind of peculiar insanity. Caligula leaps to mind, an absolute monarch in Roman times, made one of his horses a senator. This is not the kind of behavior that we expect. But at the same time, we also have examples of other monarchs who have made very different decisions. If you look at the monarchy in Norway, for example, which some of you have seen uphand or firsthand a little bit more closely than some of us lately, that when it came in 1905 said, yes, we'll have a king, but the king will not be so distant from the people that he doesn't know what's going on. So you can actually run into the king on the streets of Oslo. He's not isolated somewhere else. He's out there knowing what's happening. We have kings like the King of Denmark in the time of the Second World War, when the Nazis told all the Jews in Denmark that they had to wear a yellow Star of David. So the king said, fine, I'll wear one too. And so everyone in Denmark wore a yellow Star of David. I mean, here we have someone who is obviously a completely different, a concern for all of the people of his kingdom in a way that not everybody has. And so there's no hard and fast rules about what it means to be a king. A king, in a very real sense, gets to decide what kind of reign he will have. So will a queen. Queen Victoria had a very particular kind of reign, much different than Queen Elizabeth, who has chosen to be more accessible to her subjects than her father was, for example, or some of the other kings within the lifetime of people that we actually know. So when we ask what kind of reign is this, we need to remember that we don't get to decide what kind of a reign it is. The subjects don't get to decide necessarily what the king is going to do in the ultimate end of things. It's the king who decides. And as we were looking at scripture today, I mean, our Luke passage, where we've got sort of the one side of the kingship of Christ, where the mockery is there, even the people beside him who were in the midst of dying, one of them found time to take Jesus to task for how he was running his kingdom, is one side. And then when we look at our Colossians reading, we see a bit of a different side. And of all the things we see there, what we see is that Jesus is different than us. Kings are always different than us. Kings and queens, they have different lives, at least. I mean, they're still human beings. They still have that connection. We have a connection with Jesus as the only example of full human with full divinity ever. Jesus still has that same connection, us with him in his humanity. But there's still some differences there, and when we look at what Jesus means by kingship, we see that he's not just above us, he's also with us. We see that he's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. So our king created all that we see. So that's obviously above us. We don't create things. We make things. We make artwork. We do other things of a creative nature, but we don't create out of nothing. But then we see that he is the head of the body, the church. That's more than just a metaphor. It's more of the mystery of divinity interacting with us, that Christ is here in a way that we are his body in a real way. It's not just a symbol. When we are together, we are the body of Christ in a way that we don't really understand because we're limited by our own bodies. We don't know what it could be to be more than one, but we accept it as truth. Jesus isn't just distant as creator. He's here with us. But still, what kind of a reign is this? And as I was reflecting on that over the last few days, and I was thinking of all the terrible things in the world, and because those are too big for me to really grab a hold of, which is, well, for I think for most of us, and that's no shame, we only have a certain amount of capacity. And then I was looking at the things that are terrible in my own life and realized that, honestly, the first things that jump to mind when I think of how terrible my life is are all trivial. And then when I go beyond it, there are some things about my life that aren't that great because I'm a human being, because, you know, I'm an orphan. I don't like being an orphan. This year, for whatever reason, the loss of my father hit me the hardest it's hit me since he died. I don't know why. 6 years? Like, six isn't a... You know, it's not an anniversary that ends in a five or a zero. It's just one of those things. It hit me, and it hit Haley, one of the twins. It got us in ways that it just hadn't. She bought me flowers on the anniversary of his death, and we had a good cry together. So, I mean, there are things in my life I don't like. But does that mean that because there are things I don't like, that I know what's best for me at all times? No, it doesn't. There are things I wish wouldn't have happened. Some of them I look at and go, well, if they wouldn't have happened, this other good thing wouldn't have happened either, so I guess I'm okay with them. But lots of them I just don't know. I'm not wise enough to know that. And if I think about it that way, if I'm not wise enough to know what my life should look like in detail, do I really think that I should know what the world should look like in detail? And if I'm honest enough to say, no, I really don't, then in one sense, I don't really know that I have the right to ask that question anymore. What kind of reign is this? Because I don't know what's best. Some things I do know, of course, some things we all know. But it's very easy for us, from our perspective, or maybe I shouldn't put this on you, I'll say it just to me. It's very easy for me to look at the world and say, these things are wrong. And if I'm having a bad day, to say, well, if those things are wrong, then is it possible that God really doesn't care? That he's not in control? That if he is king of everything, if today is the celebration of the reign of Christ, that he's an indifferent monarch? Or when I take a step back from it, maybe I just don't know enough. And when I look at the reign of Christ and I ask that question with hopefully proper humility, what kind of reign is this? The answer is, it's Jesus' reign, and it's exactly the way he wants it. Think about that for a moment. It's exactly the way he wants it. Not because he wants people to suffer. We don't know how that works entirely in the mind of God. But what we do know, and what we see over and over and over in Scripture, is that God loves us, period. And with that love comes God's justice, also comes his mercy. And with it also comes, for whatever reason, and as I've spoken often, a reason I don't understand, God's decision to allow us to choose. And not just choose, but to choose anything. That the reign of Christ is not a dictatorship that tells us what to think, how to think, that doesn't command us in inescapable ways to behave. God's reign isn't one that says that I will make all decisions for you. The reign of Christ says that I am here. Jesus is saying, I'm here, I'm in control, even if you don't believe it, even if you can't see it, but you can't see everything the way I can. We can't see that Jesus loves people enough to let them not love him back. Which is extraordinary. Because he could command the love of everyone. He's God. He can do anything. But the reign of Christ isn't one that takes away our rights of volitional beings, which he has created us to be. The reign of Christ isn't such a place where nothing ever goes wrong because we're incapable of choosing what's wrong. Rather, the reign of Christ is a place that says, I am always here for you. I am always going to be working through you in ways to bring out the best. It doesn't mean that it will always work out that way, because God has chosen to work through us, through people like me. Flawed, sometimes confused about our own motivations. But the reign of Christ isn't a space where we have no ability to think. The reign of Christ didn't bring in an army of robots, automatons, who can only behave in particular ways because that's the way we're programmed. We think of the world and we think of what's going on in the Philippines with natural disasters. We think of entirely human-made disasters all over the place, of crime and our fundamental inhumanity to each other. Perhaps we look at that and we say, well, because of that, Jesus must not really be the king. But we're looking in the wrong place. Instead of looking at the natural disaster, look at the human response. Look at God's people reaching out to those who have lost so much in the Philippines, and at great expense to themselves sometimes, doing what they can to make that better. That's a different way to look at the reign of Christ. Is that not in keeping with what Jesus did when he was here? Of course it is. And when we see that, when we look at that, if we're looking for tangible things that make sense to us, they're there for us to see. The reign of Christ isn't invisible. But we need to remember that it's the king who decides what the reign looks like, not the subjects. And as we end this church year and we look back over the past various seasons of the church, and we look at things we might not have chosen, and when we see those things happen, we say, well, Jesus must not be here. And then we see the things we would have chosen and say, well, that's obviously a sign of Jesus. Well, actually, he's here no matter what. The king continues to decide what his reign will look like. Jesus continues to reach into our lives, continues to make us into the body of Christ when we're together and even when we're apart, continues to work within us, making us better than we were before. He's chosen to allow us this kind of freedom that we have, and that's part of what makes him the king that he is. So what kind of reign is this? It's exactly the kind of reign that Jesus wants, because he's the one who gets to decide. Not you, not me, even if we wish it was the case. And on those days that we don't perhaps see it as clearly as we like, we take it on faith. I've actually seen Queen Elizabeth in the flesh once. She's a very small woman until she turns around, and then she gets sort of bigger. I'm not quite sure how she does that. She's got a presence about her. But the fact that I haven't seen her recently doesn't mean I don't think she doesn't exist. I don't think she's a myth. I'm pretty sure she's there, Buckingham Palace, or wherever she happens to be at the moment. The fact that I don't always see Jesus at work in ways that I want him to be at work doesn't mean he's not there. It just means that I'm not seeing him. So what kind of reign is this? It's the kind of reign that Jesus wants. And it's there for us to see when we choose to look for it. And it's there whether we can see it or not.